Yeah. Hey, well, thank you guys so much for coming out. We are just super pumped that you're here just worshiping with us. And my name is Micah Seth. I'm the youth minister here at Two Rivers Church. And sadly, you guys are stuck with me as we are going through this series called Cathedral. And so Cathedral is a series that we started on Easter 2 weeks ago. And so it's something that we've been kind of going through and continuing to go through for the next few weeks. But last week, Dave kind of went through the idea of Jesus giving up his place in heaven to come to earth and eat with the tax collectors and the sinners. And he kind of challenged us to get out of our comfort zone and kind of do the same, right? And kind of our everyday life and how we interact with those that don't yet know Jesus. And so today we're going to go through a different aspect of not only an identity that Jesus gave up for us, but identities that we tend to find in the world that we live in today, right? Like we in a culture have this identity crisis that we have been continuing to go through. And so we're going to kind of go through what that looks like. And so when I thought of the word identity, whenever I was kind of writing this, a few things came to mind. One kind of being the whole idea of who you are, right? Like you summed up as a person, whether it's your job or your family, it could be your hobbies or passions. But I thought also in a more literal route, which was like our actual identity, right? Like what we have and we use in our day-to-day life that identifies us, which would be like our name, right? Or our identity, more simply put, like our ID. And so whether it's like a driver's license or a military ID or a social security, it's those documents that we have in our life that identify us. And so as we kind of go through this message, I wanted to start by sharing kind of a funny story that I had, this encounter I had with an ID. And so before I share this story, I wanted to preface that this event happened when I was around 18 or 19, and I wasn't following Jesus the closest. And so it was at a time where I definitely had made some mistakes in my life and learned from them, and this is definitely a lesson learned mistake. But I had graduated high school and still kind of figuring life out. And so it was my freshman year in college, and I had missed some of my friends that I had had in high school that had kind of moved away, that had gone to different schools. And so they were kind of all over the place at different schools, and so I tried to visit them when I could, but some were kind of harder to visit than others. And so I had a friend named Caroline that I was super close with whenever I was in high school, and she went to USC, the University of South Carolina. And so she was talking about this big weekend that was coming up. They had like a football game going on. They had like live music that was going on downtown, different friends that were coming in and visiting her. And it was looking like a super fun weekend. And so I had gotten in my car and started heading down there. And we were getting ready to go to this place called Five Points. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Five Points or ever been to University of South Carolina, but it's basically this like huge intersection that connects a lot of super popular venues, different bars. They have live music on the streets. They have different vendors, food trucks. It's like this whole event. And so the only issue was is that a lot of these places, you had to be 21 to get in. However, me being at 18, I was just a few short years off. Just a few. Could count. Round up. But we went with the most logical thing to do when you're 18, and that's to use your friend's fake ID to get in. And so we looked pretty similar, and so it was one of those things where I figured, you know what, maybe they're pretty busy, maybe there'll be a lot of lines, they're just kind of looking, all right, you go, you go. So we didn't think it was going to be a big deal. But before we left, Caroline had kind of warned me. She was like, man, these bouncers, they're very in tune with their job, right? Like they work with college students, they know, you know, like they know a thing or two. And so she had told me that I needed to memorize everything that was on the ID, right? Like you need to know your fake self. And so I had to knew the birthday that was in the on the ID. I needed to know the name and how it was spelled, the address, like everything, right? Just in case they ask, then you know, and you would have like an honest lie for them. That's kind of what she was warning me for. I was 18. I'm just kidding. But we were in the car and we were driving down and I was studying. I was doing my homework and researching who this person was on this ID. And so we got to the first place and there was this huge line outside of the first place that we were trying to get into. And so we got up to the bouncer, and man, I was feeling ready. I like knew everything. I was, you know, I was pumped. Any question he asked, I would know it. And so I had everything memorized and I knew my lines. And first I gave it to him. The first thing he asked was, what's your birthday? And boom, right there, I knew it. It wasn't mine, but it was this person's. And so I told him, and he kind of said, okay. And he looked at my ID. He looked back at me. He looked at the ID. He looked back at me. He was like, no flipping way. And I got a little nervous because I was like, what? And so I thought he was going to say, you're an organ donor? But he didn't. He said, no way, you're from Ranson. And I was like, what? And so then I remembered, oh, that's the address that's on the ID. And so I had to muster up some courage, and I was like, yep. And he was like, I grew up like 10 miles from there. Like, I went to, and then he said some random high school. He was like, what high school did you go to? And my heart immediately sank. I was like, are you kidding me? The one bouncer that I had lived in the same middle of nowhere town, apparently, as I did. And so I tried thinking on my feet, trying to be like on top of it. I just threw a name out there, just hoping that he actually wasn't from there, was just messing with me. So I threw out a random name of a high school. He looked at me, he said, nope, and then immediately kicked me out. So it didn't work out for me. Right, like I thought I knew the words to say and had everything down, but nothing honestly could have prepared me for his response or just that entire interaction. And so after, I kind of had to convince him or try to be like, look, man, I'm sorry, but like it's not mine. Like I'm not, you know, do you mind if like we get it back? We had to do some convincing. And he basically said, just, you know, here it is, just get out. And so before we left, he had asked, hey, man, but what's your name? Like, who are you? And so I was a little nervous that he was going to get the police involved. So I, at this point, just had to come clean. And I told him who my name was, and he was kind of asking, like, who are you? And I didn't really know what he meant by that. Because I feel like that whole question of who are you is kind of a loaded question, right? It's a question that I know all of us have been asked, whether it's from, like, family or friends, or it could be from, like, a job interview that's like, hey, tell us a little bit about yourself, like, who are you? Or it could be your own self kind of questioning, like, who am I? But if you'll indulge me, I kind of want to try something with you guys this morning as we get ready to jump into this message. I would love for everybody to close their eyes, and I want you to think of that question of who are you? Like, what comes to mind when you picture yourself, when you picture how other people view you, when you think of how you want other people to view you, what do you want them to see, right? So if you guys will close your eyes, I'll give you a minute to think about it, and we'll kind of go through this message this morning. But I know right now some of you are picturing literally you, right? Like you think of how you look, you think of how you act, the words that you say, the way that you interact with people. Some of you are picturing your house or your family. Some of you are picturing where you came from or your childhood. You could be picturing your shining accomplishment that you had in life and that you were just so proud of. And you're like, this is how I want people to remember me, is from this moment. Some of you are picturing a sin or a mistake in your life that you never forgave yourself for, that you feel like it defines you, that this is how people remember you. It could be a childhood trauma or abuse. It could be a diagnosis or even a death that has affected you to say, this is who I am or this is who I was. And you guys can open your eyes. And I feel as though we live in a culture, in a world that has struggled with identity crisis for centuries, right? It just takes on new forms. It just looks different in every way. And so the verses that we're going to be talking through today speak on where we as people tend to seek our identity from, and it leaves us feeling empty and unfulfilled. And so before we kind of jump more into it, we have Bibles that we would love to hand out. If you guys don't have one, I'd love for you to raise your hand. But as I was preparing for this message, I do it the best way I know how, and that's scrolling on TikTok. And so I was scrolling on TikTok, and you find a lot of different things on this app. It's super crazy. But for those that don't know what TikTok is, it's basically a platform, a social media platform, where you could upload videos, but there's a time limit on how long you can upload a video. Typically, people have about 1 minute. Some people have longer, but typically it's 1 minute. And so if you have a video that's longer than a minute, you have to break it into two parts. Right, so you have the first part, and then if you want to see the second part, you have to go on their profile, and they'll usually upload the last part of the video. And so I was scrolling on TikTok, and I saw the first part of this video, and I thought it was super interesting, and it was something that I felt like relates to this topic, and so I just wanted to share this with you super quick.
Why do I feel so empty, bored, unfulfilled, like something's missing, like I want something more, like there's this giant, bottomless, infinite hole inside me? So I try to fill it with all kinds of junk to make it go away. But these don't work. They give me a quick high, but it doesn't last, leaving me frustrated, addicted, and wanting more. So I think maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem. I need to be bigger, better, smarter, funnier, better looking. So I build myself up on the outside into some person that I don't even know, that I don't even like. And on the inside, I beat myself down, sometimes severely, and I feel more empty. Then I think, maybe if I have the perfect job with the perfect life and the perfect money and all the perfect shiny things I ever wanted, that will fill the hole. So I work and I work and I work and I work, but these things never work out the way we want, and now I gotta deal with dead dreams and feeling like a failure. And even if they do work out and I make it to the top and I get all the things I always thought would make me happy, when I get there, I look around and I say, now what?
And so I thought that was a super crazy, super cool video. It kind of made me think a lot, because the previous video was like a dog running into the wall. I scroll once and it's this super deep video that just kind of threw me completely off. And I feel like, I don't know how many of you guys have TikTok, but I feel like when I watch TikTok, I love to look at the comments in the video, because a lot of times the comments are a lot more funny than the actual video because people are just way too creative. And so when I looked into the comments, I realized just how severe our identity crisis is. And so I wanted to share some of the comments that were shared on this video from people on this app. I'm just going to read through them. It says, TikTok really said for you. This hits so different. This is an exact detailed description of me. I didn't know you could describe this feeling so well. This is so true. Life has lost all meaning to me. I'm glad I'm not the only one feeling this way. This is basically an ad for my life. So relatable, and on and on and on. These comments popped up about how everybody was just feeling empty and unfulfilled because they're either trying to be someone that they aren't, or they're trying to find their identity or their purpose in something that just leaves them feeling broken. And so we're going to go through the second part of this video later in this message. But while working in youth ministry, this is a topic and a conversation that I feel like we have weekly. Not only because 6th to 12th grade is, you know, starting figuring out where you are in this world, who you are in this world, but I feel like now more than ever, there's such a pressure on finding your identity right now. Like, who are you? And today we're going to be going through Philippians chapter 3. And Dave had been going through Philippians chapter 2 the past few weeks, so this week we'll be going through chapter 3. But this kind of section of scripture is written by Paul, which addresses identity. Not necessarily in what we should put our identity in, but what we shouldn't. And so as we start, I wanted to pray as we go through this together, and then we'll start in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 4. But God, I just thank you for today. I just thank you for just this time that we get together to just celebrate you and just honor you and worship you. And I just pray for just that you speak through me, that we're just able to kind of receive just your truth and your word today and just this morning, that we're able to kind of put this on our heart as we leave just this building and as we go out and be the church to just our community. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so starting in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. And so kind of what Paul is saying is that if anyone here has bragging rights to being successful and having a purpose in the world, it's me. Right? Like Paul is saying, out of anybody that wants to brag about what they have or what they've done, I've done them better. If you try to outweigh your success and your accomplishments and the identity of the things in this world, you're going to lose in comparison to Paul, is basically what he's saying. Like if you find your identity or your success in the family that you have, the family name that you have, Paul would say, I was born in a higher up family, right? If you feel that you are a more devout Christian than I am, and if you feel like you've done all the right things, I've done more and I have done them better. You want to talk about money, you want to talk about respect, you want to talk about status, anything that you might find your identity or base your success on here on this earth, I have more and I've done them better. And he goes on and on about this idea of if you want to measure success in this world based on worldly things, you will be so unsuccessful in comparison to me. It's kind of a weird way to start your message. But he continues with this idea in verse 7. And he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. So the first identity crisis, if you will, that I wanted to address that we face in this world is our identity and our success, right? Paul is saying that his accomplishments are garbage to him in comparison to Christ. He's saying that I would be better than anyone who wants to challenge me on success and purpose in the form of things in this world, and they mean nothing to me because I'm not looking at what I have done, but I'm looking at what Christ has done on my behalf. And this is not at all like how the world works, right? It goes against our human nature to have this mindset of not basing our entire life or the success of our life based on things that we've done. And this topic or this idea is difficult to grasp because it goes against kind of how the world functions. And if we go back to the question of who are you, right? Like when we asked that initial question of who are you, some of you pictured your accomplishments or your achievements that you've had in life. And so I wanted to go through a few of those. On the topic of family, if you find your identity or you want people to view you as like the perfect family or the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect mom, whatever the case is, Paul would say, that is not who you are. It might be a family that you were born into or a family that you raised, but that is not who you are. If your identity is in how funny you are, the type of jokes that you make, or you feel like when you show up to a hangout session or whatever, like everybody kind of lightens up and they feel like you're just the life of the party, that might be great, but that's just a characteristic of you, right? Like that's your personality. That's not necessarily who you are. That's not the root of it. Your gender. A lot of people feel like that defines you, but that's your gender. That's not who you are. Your race, not who you are. Who you voted for is not who you are. How much money you make or spend is not who you are. Where you live, what kind of job you have, how many followers you have, your car, your whatever, that is not who you are. And Paul is saying that regardless of what it is, I consider it garbage to me. Because I find who I am. I find my purpose in Christ, not in my characteristics. He isn't saying that these things are bad or that they're negative. He's not saying that you can't have a lot of followers. He's not saying that you can't have a nice house. But it's not who you are. It's different. And Paul is saying that basically who you are is who you will become in Christ. Now, this isn't a reference to that whole idea of like the wish it, want it, do it. But it's the idea that if we place our identity in who Christ is and what he has done for us, then we will become more like Christ and become righteous. And that's who we are, who we will become. And that is more success and purpose than we can find anywhere in this world. Our identity is not in our accomplishments. Paul continues in verse 9 with, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And Paul is saying that we need to find our identity in Christ's accomplishments, right? And not in our own. Like if you think of the greatest measure of success, or the greatest measure of purpose, or the best thing that you could ever do here on this planet, it's nothing that we've done, but it's actually living for eternity, right? With Jesus. Something that he has already succeeded in. You want to talk about success, you want to talk about meaning. Paul's saying, why would I put my accomplishments next to Christ when he has achieved far greater than I ever will? And verse 12 says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have been taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And Paul says it's not about what I have done or where I have been, but it's about where I'm heading. And there are so many people that when they look at Jesus, when they look at the cross, when they look at the story of the resurrection, they can't see the forgiveness that is offered past their own mistakes. They place importance on their sin instead of magnifying the grace that God gives. And they're stuck in the past of who they were, not who Christ has made them to be. And Paul does not see his identity and doesn't define it based on things that he's done, but instead he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The beauty in our identity is in Christ, and I'm looking forward. And I have a buddy that kind of explained this whole idea or this concept to me, and I honestly won't look at the topic the same way again. And so I'm going to try to explain what she said by using a story. And since we're already on the topic of mistakes I've made, I wanted to share another one. But I would say that I'm an okay driver. Some would argue against it. But I feel like I have a heavier foot when I drive. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. But I feel like 5 over sounds good, but 10 or 15 just sounds a little bit better, right? And so I was driving outside of Greenville, and I got pulled over for speeding. And the ticket that I got meant that I couldn't just pay for it online, but I actually had to appear in court. And the date that I got to appear in court was a date that I actually couldn't go to because I was taking some of your students to CIY in Knoxville. But I had a youth event that I had to go to, so I could not appear in court. That's how important CIY was to me. I missed court. So I got nervous. I'm just kidding. So I got nervous about not being able to appear in court and having points on my license and having penalties on it. And I was getting really worked up thinking about it, like, how am I going to make this work? And so I got a lawyer to appear for me and try to lessen my sentence, right? Like, I had to pay for the lawyer, but I knew that he could handle this situation better than I could, right? Like, I wouldn't know what to do or what to say. And so I got a call while I was at CIY, and the dude called me, and he basically said, hey, man, just want to let you know, like, you're good, you're cleared. Like, you don't really have points on your license. You don't have to, you know, go to a class to learn how to drive again. All you need to do is just stop speeding. That was hard for me. But I remember being happy and relieved at the fact that I don't have that ticket, right? Like, I don't have that ticket anymore on my driver's license. I don't have that ticket that deducts from my license or add to any insurance payments that I have to make. That ticket that I got is not going to stick with me for years. And I feel like that is so much of how the gospel is laid out, where it's not that I wasn't speeding, but now it just doesn't impact me. Now it just doesn't stay with me. Where if we look at how Jesus forgives and what it looks like to have our identity in Jesus and not our identity in things that we've done wrong in this life, it would be like Jesus saying, like, I understand that you've sinned. I understand that you've made mistakes. I know you've struggled with anger, but now it doesn't mark you. Now it doesn't label you. You've struggled with image issues. That's not going to stay with you. Abuse doesn't mark you. Cursing doesn't label you. It's not that you forget that you've ever done any of that, or it's not like you've never sinned or you've never had to go through that. It's just now we can celebrate our identity in Jesus free from all the things that we feel marks us or labels us. That those things aren't who we are, but who we are is who we will become in Jesus. It's who we were, not who we are. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to go ahead and watch the second part of this TikTok. And I wanted to remember the first part of this video was kind of about, like, why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel like I try to put on these different faces, but nothing seems to work? And I feel like I just keep tearing myself more and more down. And all these comments were going off about, like, yeah, like, I agree. I understand. I feel that. I resonate with that and all these other things. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to go through and watch this video and then kind of go through it together. But this is part two of that video.
The truth is, I can have all the pleasure, wealth, success, admiration, and all the good things in all the world, but they're not going to fill the hole because they're just not big enough. The hole is bottomless, endless, infinite. These are all limited, ending, finite, and only the infinite can fill the infinite. So what is it? What's big enough? What's bottomless, endless, unlimited, infinite? Why do I feel so empty? Because we're made for fullness. And only God is fullness.
And so I thought that was a super cool illustration, a super cool analogy, right? And so, of course, I looked at that video. I thought it was really cool. And so I went to look at the comments, and I just wanted to read some of these comments. Top 5 most disappointing endings. Are you kidding me? Does someone have a genuine response, not just this God stuff? I was looking for a real answer. L ending. I felt this up until the God thing. That was terrible. Why'd you waste my time like that? And my favorite one, somebody said, if it said your mom at the end instead of God, that would be funny. That was it. That was his comment. But people with all these identity crises in the first video talking about like, yeah, I feel so empty, I feel so down, knowing that they don't know their purpose in life or that life is just empty to them, but they can agree that it's not God. I don't know what the meaning of my life is, but I know for a fact that God is not a part of it. And so as we wrap up, I feel like that ties into the last verse I want to go through, and that's Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, join together in the following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again with tears, I want to paint this picture. Paul is basically, this is the craziest thing to me. Paul is writing this letter to the people that he loves in Philippi. And he's saying all of these things and he's telling them that he's crying. Like he's saying that he is weeping, that this is affecting him heavily. He's saying even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And I was confused with what he meant by God is their stomach, but basically that means that they're filling their appetite with things that they want. They do as they please. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. And there are so many people who want this identity. That quote unquote freedom, the freedom to do whatever you want, when you want it, to feel free from law, from order, from other people. And they feel like it's free. When in reality, it's just chaos. Where we have the freedom in our identity in Christ to be free from all of our accomplishments, to be free from all of our sins and our mistakes, and freedom to know that our identity is not found in what we have done, but it is in who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. The freedom in knowing who we become when we follow Christ. And we need to be able to reach these people that Paul is talking about in this verse. And Dave kind of touched on it a little bit last week. But we need to be able to find those that just fill their appetite, who are enemies to the cross. And we need to show them what freedom looks like, right? Because we know that there's no greater purpose in this life than serving and worshiping the God who chose us first. Before we were even born, we were loved and we were given a purpose, right? Some of us still feel like we don't know it, but our purpose is found in him. That no one or nothing else can change that. And so I wanted to ask the band to come up as I close with a question. And the question is, who are you? I asked this question when we first started this message. And I know just as I arrived at Five Points in South Carolina, a place that was hopping, a place that I really wanted to be, my ID didn't meet the right credentials. My ID was fake. I didn't have my true identity on my ID. And to kind of close, when we get to this place that we're all aspiring to go to as Christians, and I'm not saying that heaven is a bar in South Carolina, but what I am saying is that when we stand before the judge and hand over our ID, our identity, what is it going to say? Will your ID have your accomplishments, all your crowning achievements, and everything that you feel like you did right in this world? Well, if we did that, Paul would say that that's not enough. Will your ID have all of your mistakes, all the things that you feel define you in a negative way, and all the things that you feel like make up your identity? Or is your ID going to have all of Jesus's accomplishments, all of Jesus's forgiveness, and all of Jesus's glory, and the grace and the redemption that lives in us? Our ID should not have our own accomplishments, because just as Paul said, that just isn't enough. We need to remember that our identity comes through Jesus, the one who calls us not to be defined by the world, but by him and him alone. And there is such an identity crisis in the world that we live in today. And it is a reminder to all of us that our identity is found in the one who paid it all and the one who calls us his. And as we enter into this time of communion, it's a chance to just celebrate and recognize that. Recognize that we serve a God that went through every measure possible to show us love, to extend his forgiveness and to redeem us from the identity that we think that we have in this world. And as we go into this time, I want us to be reminded of the sacrifice that was paid on the cross so we would know our true identity. And there are tables in the four corners of the room, and we'd love to just extend this invitation to you to share with us in this breaking of bread during this time. And we have prepackaged communion, we have prepared communion, and we also have gluten-free options as well. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to enter into this time together. But God, I just thank you for today. I just thank you for just who we are in you and just the identity that we have, and knowing that it's not our accomplishments, it's not anything that we could do or anything that we have done, but it's in you and what you have done. And I just pray as we enter into this time of communion that we just give our hearts and our minds and everything that we have to you, and that you just use us, and that we're just able to celebrate in this time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.